This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, TV critic for the New York Daily News, in for Terry Gross. Our guest is Annette Bening. She's currently starring in the new film Running with Scissors, based on the best-selling memoir by Augustine Burroughs about his dysfunctional childhood. Bening was nominated for an Oscar for her roles in the films Being Julia and American Beauty. Her other memorable roles include the president's girlfriend in The American President, the con woman in Grifters, and the femme fatale in Bugsy, the movie in which she met her husband, Warren Beatty. In Running with Scissors, she plays the manic-depressive poet who is the mother of the Augustine Burroughs character. Here she is leading a women's poetry group. One of the women is reading her own poem aloud.
And when the sun comes out, the daffodil looks skyward, wet from the rain, but not broken. Triumphant trumpet. Did you like it, Deirdre? I've been working on it since the last meeting of the poetry club. You said, write what you know.
It's sentimental. It's emotionally dishonest. It implodes into nothingness. I was bored. Were you bored, Christy?
It sort of didn't go anywhere.
You didn't tap into your creative unconscious for it. Who wants to read next?
Terry spoke with Annette Bening last year. At the time, she was starring in Being Julia, playing a celebrated British stage actress in 1938.
Some actors are always on. I mean, some people become performers because they see life as theater, and they're always on, and they always want to be on stage and the center of attention. But I think other performers are actually kind of shy, and when they're not on stage, they're just different. I mean, they're not necessarily larger than life when they're off stage. I think for your character in the movie, she sees life as theater. She is usually on even when she's off stage. What about you?
No, I don't see myself as someone who's always on. Maybe it's because I also have a life where I have so many responsibilities and things that I do that are outside of working and acting. But I agree with you about actors, and I find it very interesting that some actors are much more introverted and shy. I know I feel much more comfortable and always have when I'm working. If I'm working, acting, doing on a stage, or if I'm on a set and I'm working and I'm the center of attention, that to me feels normal and comfortable or you know, appropriate, I guess is the word. In life, just being me, being the center of attention, sometimes I find very uncomfortable.
Can you explain that difference? Why you're uncomfortable having attention off stage?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because I can remember when I first started, I was doing only theater for a number of years, and I started getting interested in movies because I would see a good movie and I would think, oh, God, that's so powerful and someone has to be in them and maybe someday I could. But I had been working as an actress on the stage. I didn't have an agent. I didn't know how to go to interviews. And I remember coming to Los Angeles for the first time and I didn't even stay, but I sort of came and visited and met a few people and they would say, well, just go in and be yourself. And I would find that very intimidating. I felt like, well, if you give me a script, I know what to do. I know how to do that. That I'm comfortable doing. But just chatting with people, I didn't understand why that was important. I do understand why it's important now, especially in front of a camera, why it's important to just have a conversation with someone and see what they sound like, how they move, what are their rhythms, what is their kind of nature. But I didn't really even understand that then.
You made your first movie when you were 30, which is comparatively late for an actress who is really well known for her movie career. Why was it so comparatively late that you made your movie debut?
I wanted to be a classical actress. It's why I started. I really knew nothing about the theater or acting when I started. I just went to a play in San Diego where I was growing up. My English teacher took our class to a play at the Old Globe Theater, and I fell in love with the kind of marriage of ideas and emotion that seemed to be going on, and I loved watching the actors, and I liked the sweat on their faces and the sound of their voices, and it was Shakespeare, and the whole thing just kind of seemed very exciting. So I began to get interested in it, and I began to do plays when I was in junior high and high school, and that's how it sort of started. So coming around to movies, I didn't watch movies thinking about being a movie star or a movie actor. I just thought about being on the stage, and my heroes were people like Eva Le Gallien and Eleonora Duse, and those were the people that I would read about. And then a lot of the English actresses, Judi Dench and Maggie Smith, and people that were on the stage in England who came from repertory. And so I went to San Francisco State. I got a theater degree, and then I went to a conservatory in San Francisco at a theater there called the American Conservatory Theater. Out of college, I went there, and in between, I was doing Shakespeare festivals. So that's sort of where I got my start. That's what I wanted to do, and it wasn't until later that I began seriously thinking about, well, maybe trying to go to L.A. or New York and trying to get an agent and trying to start doing movies.
Let's talk about one of your early films. And this is The Grifters, which you made in 1990. And this is a film. John Cusack is a small-time con man, and he's caught between his mother, who's a real scam artist, and then he meets you, and you're a con artist, too. So he's kind of, in a way, trapped between these two women, his mother and you. And I want to play a scene from the film. And this is, at this point, you're telling Cusack that you have a new scheme and you want him to be your partner in it.
Caroline, guess what? I had to tell you right away. I called a fellow I know in Tulsa, the one who plays my chauffeur. He says that there's a sucker there that's made for us. And a broker that just shut down. We can use their office, not change a thing. Now, I can scrape up 10 grand if I try. I got a couple of aces in the hole, some markers I could call on for something real. That leaves 15 or 20 for your end. We can start this weekend, get the sucker into position.
Hold it. Now, you're talking some pretty tall figures. What makes you think I got that kind of money?
Well, you must have. Now you know you do, Roy.
Maybe I like it where I am.
Well, maybe I don't. I had 10 good years with Cole, and I want him back. I gotta have a partner. I looked and I looked, and believe me, brother, I kissed a lot of f***ing frogs. And you're my prince.
Do I get any say in this?
No, because...
That's what I say. What I say is no, we're not two partners.
That's a scene from The Grifters. Annette Bening, did you go back and watch a lot of film noir before performing in The Grifters?
I did watch some. Stephen Frears, who directed the picture, gave me some ideas. He also had me watch a lot of Gloria Graham, and she was... a wonderful actress who did a number of those film noirs, and there was something particular about her that he liked, and then I began to kind of fall in love with. She's a very interesting person as well, her own personal life. But I also felt that in that particular character and that picture, the style of it was really influenced by the costume designer. His name was Richard Hornung. He's passed away, but he was a great designer, and I just... Every once in a while, you go into a fitting for a film, especially, and you feel like the designer hands you the character. In a way, I think Hornung did that because he had such a specific eye and a specific idea for Angelica as well, and Angelica looked incredible in the picture. So those costumes, and also I completely changed the way I looked. I cut my hair, I dyed it, and I did all this stuff, so that helps.
You know, you said that the clothing really gave you a sense of the character. Of course, there's one scene in which you were wearing absolutely nothing. And this is a scene where your landlord wants the rent, you're really behind, and you kind of invite him into your apartment. He walks in, you're laying there naked in bed, waiting for him. And he says, I need the money. And you say, oh, it's over there. And you point to the far end of the room where the money is. And you basically offer him the choice of, you know, the rent money or you. And, you know, it's a very seductive scene, one of several seductive scenes in it. And it made me wonder, before you became an actress, were you familiar with that sense of using your body in such an overtly seductive way? It's something you see all the time in the movies, But I always wonder if the actresses who know how to do that in movies really have lived any of their life that way.
No, Terry, I have to say I probably could say pretty safely no, I had never experienced anything like that. I thought that the comedic nature of the moments in which Myra, if I remember her name right, Myra in The Grifters, was naked, it seemed right. And because it was comedic, it seemed particularly appropriate. And so doing it actually was pretty liberating. That moment, though, when the guy actually ends up jumping on top of me, that was not my favorite moment. There's another scene where John's actually chasing me around. I'd forgotten about it, and then I saw it recently and thought, wow. Yeah, he sort of chases me around a room, throws me over his shoulder and everything. No, it was actually very liberating at the time. Yeah.
Liberating in what sense?
Taking your clothes off, running around, mm-hmm, it was liberating. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the big deal, you know?
Right, right. Let's talk about Bugsy, and this is the movie in which you met your husband, Warren Beatty, and he plays, you know, Ben Siegel, Bugsy Siegel, who builds up a lot of Vegas, and you play Virginia Hill, who becomes his lover. Now, this is a scene from when you first meet. And he's just met you. He's very interested in you. You've walked away. He's just found out from his friend that you are actually the girlfriend of Joey Adonis. And he, you know, Bugsy walks back in your direction and has this conversation with you.
Look, you're Ben Siegel and I'm Virginia Hill, okay? Yeah. Now, why are you so interested in a gal who's going with your friend?
What friend? Joey A. He's no friend of mine. He's an associate of an associate. Are you still going with him?
If it were New Year's Eve, he would be my date. Who would your date be?
Wife.
Wife?
Esther.
Esther?
Esther. E-S-T-A.
Good. Let me guess. I'll bet Esther lives her life faithful to her one and only Ben, who plays around like a jackrabbit on the side and lies about it through his teeth.
I don't lie to Esther.
That's noble. What do? Confess your sins three times a day? Now, what exactly does Mr. Esther want from Miss Virginia?
Right now, Mr. Esther is having a tremendous amount of difficulty imagining anything he doesn't want from Miss Virginia.
Are you ready for a divorce, Mr. Siegel?
Never.
Well, my oh my, you're pretty ferocious where Mom's concerned, aren't you?
Yeah.
The rest of the time, you're just another good-looking, sweet-talking, charm-oozing, happy fellow with nothing to offer but some dialogue. Dialogue's cheap in Hollywood, Ben. Why don't you run outside and jerk yourself a soda?
That's a scene from Bugsy. My guest is Annette Bening. When you auditioned for this movie, did you have any sense that by the time the movie was over that you would be soon to marry Warren Beatty? I mean, did you have a sense that this was going to be that kind of chemistry?
Actually, by the time I was meeting people at this point in the work, I didn't audition. So I went and met with Barry Levinson.
You're past that.
Yeah, exactly. At that point, I was just like meeting with people and I didn't have to read, although I would have, I'm sure, if they'd asked me. Anyway, so I just met with Barry Levinson first. I had a drink with him and then I met Warren for lunch. So then I guess it was after that that they asked me to do the picture. No, the answer is no, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Is it ever confusing when you're doing a role with someone and it's a role where the two characters fall in love? Is it ever confusing what emotions you're feeling, like from the character, and what emotions are real?
A friend of mine, I remember when I was working in the theater, called it scene spill.
it's scene when, spill. I like that
scene spill. I know it's a great expression. Let's see. No, I don't think so. I think really down deep, no, I think you kind of know you're pretending or you know it's real life. And what's interesting, too, about chemistry on screen, I don't think there's any way of knowing when chemistry will work and when it won't work and what that is. It's a very intangible quality when you're watching something and you see two people and there is that magical thing happening between them on screen. Because I've done pictures that you know, wasn't necessarily going on between me and the other actor at all. Not that we weren't friendly, but it wasn't like there was any kind of romance going on, and it seems like it kind of sparkles and works, and then other times it doesn't. So it's a funny quality to try to capture.
Were you willing to admit to yourself that you actually felt something for him before the film was over? Because I could see how like real feelings could interfere with the making of a movie, because real feelings could also end. Real feelings could be combustible. And you don't, I mean, if you're serious about making a movie, you don't want that to intrude on the reality of
the
movie.
Yeah, what if it ends before the movie ends, right?
Exactly. Well, exactly.
No, it's a problem. No. I began to know as we were making the picture that there was something going on between us, for sure. I mean, we were discreet about it, and we were, you know, kept quiet about it. But yeah, you know, we started to fall in love. So yeah, that was going on. But I think in general, people, you know, all of us are very careful about those relationships and having to, draw the line and draw a distinction between what is pretend and what isn't.
You are now the mother of four. So you have your hands full in private life. Your children age from what, age 4 to 13 or something like that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So what balance do you think you want in your life between, you know, being a mother and having your career?
I think balance is really... it makes sense, but in a way, I think it's kind of overrated. Actually, creativity, I think, comes from excess. And that's probably the trickiest part of wanting to have a life with children, where you have this responsibility and you want to be there for them and take care of them in the way that they need. But then you also want to find a way to keep track of what's going on inside of you creatively in your own separate creative evolution. And you need excess in a way for that. So... I feel lucky because I can do it and I can do both. I get to do movies and also have my life with my children. I don't think I'd be good at only working, going from project to project or play to movie or whatever. I think for me, it makes much more sense and works much better to have all of these responsibilities. So I feel lucky that I can do that. You know, having spent a lot of time when I was in a position where I was just trying to get work, to be in a position where I can choose to work or not work feels like a privilege. And with film, then when I do go, like I made a movie about a year ago and I'm about to start a film in March, then when I do go in to shoot a picture, I feel like I can really focus on it because it's been a year again since I was actually shooting every day. And that becomes an incredible experience for me and a real joy and a real challenge. And I don't feel like I'm doing the wrong thing because I'm not always doing it.
I really like what you said about people always talking about balance. But, you know, in some lines of work, it's not about moderation. It's really about throwing yourself into it.
Yeah, and that's important, and that's what's tricky, because as a mom, you do want to be balanced to a degree, right? You want to mm-hmm. be consistent, and you want to be there for your children in a way that they can feel safe and predictable, and that's important for children, and they deserve that, but that there's a dichotomy there between that and what you're trying to do in your creative life.
A couple like you and Warren Beatty are probably, you know, as close as it gets in America to royalty, you know what I mean? Because the level of celebrity is kind of on a par with what royalty might be in another country. And it seems to me that must be a blessing and a curse at the same time.
I think you're right. I think that's the perfect way of putting it. It is. The part where, you know, people say royalty, I mean, that's something it's a story that people kind of make up because it doesn't really have anything to do with us personally mm-hmm. or the way we live our lives or mm-hmm. any of that. So I guess that's the tricky part of becoming known on any degree, that you deal with people's ideas of you and projections that people have about you. I'm sure you deal with that on the radio, how people conceive of you versus how you really are or how you see yourself. So I do think a certain amount of sorting through that helps when you can kind of say, okay, that's someone's idea of me versus who I really am.
Well, Annette Bening, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Annette Bening, speaking with Terry Gross last year. Annette Bening currently stars in the new film, Running with Scissors.